Hey guys, Eric Bischoff here, and just want to call a quick timeout. I want to tell your listeners about what I've been telling everybody at over at 83 Weeks quite a while now, about all the cool things that are happening over at adfreeshows.com.
We're kicking off 2023 with an all-new edition of Title Chase as Conrad dives into the moments, memories, and matches of the 10 pounds of silver, the NWA U.S. Heavyweight Championship.
Man, I am doing great. Like my friend Steve Kern likes to say, gratitude is the attitude, and that's where I'm at.
I like it. I like it. Well, I had a blast talking about the old WCW Heavyweight Championship with you recently, and we thought, hey, let's get down a rabbit hole about something maybe a little more old school. Tell everybody what you're holding there.
I am holding the 10 pounds of silver NWA United States Heavyweight Championship belt.
We get a peek behind the curtain on an all-new edition of The Insiders as Conrad sits down with former WWE writer and current Impact producer Jimmy Jacobs.
You start to realize that your one weird interaction with Vince away from being in the doghouse or being fired.
Wow.
And then you just start to behave in a way to try to not get fired. And then your ideas become ideas in an effort to not get fired. And pretty soon you have a whole bunch of people that are playing to not lose.
No spray tans necessary on our latest premium watch-along event, as Eric Bischoff and Nick Patrick sat down for the first time ever to discuss what really happened in one of the biggest and most infamous main events in history, Starrcade 97.
It's been 25 years since it happened, and this is the first time that we've ever talked about it. Nobody came to me that night after the match in the locker room, at the TV the next day. You know, it was just we just moved on from it. You know, and I did what I was supposed to do out of the deal. You know, I don't know what was told in the production meeting, what people were expecting, and you know, I was getting pulled from two different sides.
That's just a small taste of what we've got waiting for you. With four levels to choose from, see for yourself why Ad-Free Shows is the best value in wrestling today. Sign up now at adfreeshows.com.
Cold as a razor blade, as tight as a tourniquet, like the skin on a dying man.
I don't want a piece of the world. I want the whole world.
I make my own rules because it's much easier that way.
Trust me.
What's up, everybody? This is Marcus D'Angelo, and this is The Snake Pit with Jake Roberts. And Jake, what a nice way to welcome our listeners.
Well, I thought you might like that. It was for you. It wasn't for our listeners.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, that's fine. You know, I need that kind of stuff. Keep me on my toes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it was a great Christmas, man. You know, I was very fortunate. I mean, I love doing this, so maybe some people don't, but if you don't, you're an asshole. Because basically we went to San Antonio with AEW, and I was lucky enough to be able to hand out food to 1,500 people.
1,500
yeah, people. 1,500
people.
We had five lines, so actually I took care of about 300 or more. I think more. But,
dude, that is incredible.
Because everybody wanted in my line.
Of course.
You know, we picked a bad time to do it because it was like, you know, 25 degrees. It was friggin' cold, man. And where did they put Jake? Let's let Jake hand out the frozen turkeys.
Oh, no. Oh, no. So your hands were a couple frozen turkeys.
We'll see. I bought these great pair of gloves, man, in Cody, Wyoming. They are ready for cold, okay?
Yep.
And I bought them. They were like $175 for a pair of gloves. I couldn't believe I did it. But when I put them on, it was like instant orgasm. I mean, they were just so cozy and warm. But of course, dumbass me didn't take them with me. So I didn't have them. So yes, my hands were frozen like a piece of like two rocks of ice, man. But I tell you what, it was worth it because every time you put food in the car, you'd see these smiles from these people and realize just how happy they were, because they were literally giving these people 2 weeks worth of food. That's a lot of damn food, bro.
That is a ton of food.
I mean, they were giving them 40-pound boxes of sweet potatoes, two to each car.
Wow.
80 pounds of potatoes, man. They'd given them like 20 bags of beans and rice and, you know, right down the line, man. So they hooked them up big time, and it was just seeing their smiles and hearing the thank yous and the Feliz Navidad, which I kept saying Felix the Cat, you know, because I don't speak Spanish and don't claim to know how. So I just went with Felix the Cat. Felix the Cat, you know.
Yeah, well, hey, close enough. Close
man, you got a cool shirt on.
You know, I was just about to say the same thing to you, Jake. You got a cool shirt on, but check this out, man. A classic is back. It's the old school ice cream bar with a little new school flavor. And man, you got it.
You too can eat me.
Damn it. That should have been the tagline on the website. We got to get our guy to change that. Eat me. Eat me, Jake Roberts.
It kind of goes along with to know me is to blow me. I'm sorry about that one, folks.
So I'll tell you what, guys. You can get your hands on these shirts. This one, the one Jake is wearing, we've got one more. It's an awesome-looking Trust Me shirt.
Yeah.
At boxofgimmicks.com. Get over there and check it out. We know you've got some extra Christmas money now that the new year is here. So come on, use it on something actually want.
The bottom line is, if you don't want to be a turd, buy one.
Man, simply and beautifully put, eloquently put, Jake. Yeah. If you don't want to be a turd, just go get a damn shirt.
Yeah,
and
get over yourself.
And Jake, I mentioned it. It's the new year. You got any resolutions you'd like to share with our audience?
I have tons of resolutions, man.
So what do you think?
The first one is I've got to finish my book.
That's a big one.
I've got to finish it. I apologize to those people out there that have been waiting, but you know, for me, writing a book is like writing from my heart. And sometimes my heart doesn't feel like talking, you know?
Right.
And especially with what's happened in the past few weeks, my car burning up. Boy, man, that hurt. Sitting there, have to stand there and watch your favorite dream burn up.
Oh.
You know?
Just awful, dude. I can't imagine it.
Forget about the money. I mean, there was 60, 70 grand that just went up in flames. You know, and no fault of mine, but somebody's fault, and we'll find out in court who wins that one.
Ooh, man. Well, I'll tell you what, it sounds like a layup for you, or it should be.
Oh, and, it is. It's a slam dunk, man. You don't work on a car for 14 months and then deliver it, and it burns up with less than 20 miles on it.
Yep, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah, somebody didn't do something right.
Man.
I'm sorry that it happened to the person, but they need to stand up and take the blame and just get on with it. You know, do the next right thing. That's what I always say. Do the next right thing.
Yep.
If you live like that, you'll be okay.
Now that's a resolution to live by, you know, do the next right thing for the remainder of 2023. I'm stealing that. That's going to be my resolution.
Do the next right
thing, 2023. Yeah.
I have a couple other resolutions. I've been kind of slacking off on the DDPY yoga. I need to get back on it.
Yep.
If you don't use it, you lose it. So I want to use it.
Man,
I use it a lot.
I don't think we've plugged it on here enough. That DDP yoga, it works wonders. I've done it. I know you've done it. Worked wonders for you. So check it out. DDP yoga.
I lost 80 pounds doing it, man. So
I mean, that's incredible. That is remarkable.
It changed my whole life, man. I mean, you go from being a big bliffet laying in the floor and you can't hardly get up to being able to do all sorts of stuff, you know? I mean, being able to pop up, do push-ups, drop down, get it again, you know? I mean, hell, I was ready to get back in the ring there for a while, which was what I was doing. I was training, trying to get back in shape to do the Royal Rumble, but they never called me, you know?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Jake, because that is a big part of our notes this week, and I'm excited about this topic.
Well, I did a little segue there, you know.
So hey, that was nicely done.
I'm glad you caught that.
I can tell you've been in the business for like 40 years. You're pretty good at this stuff, huh?
I get lucky every now and then. Even the blind hog finds an acorn every now and then.
Man, like I said, it is a fun one this week. You know, following your incredible journey into sobriety, thanks to DDP and the Accountability Crib. What do we have there?
I don't give a sip.
Well, I think our audience is going to give a sip this week. Because, man, and by the way, you know, I mentioned that this is all post your incredible journey into sobriety. The fans can get the full story of that on The Resurrection of Jake the Snake, which is available everywhere. Grab it on Amazon or wherever now. It's an incredible, incredible documentary. And all of a sudden, Jake, you find yourself welcome back into the fold in WWE in early 2014, and you get inducted into the Hall of Fame. Pretty awesome stuff.
You know, I was in DDP's crib, man, and I get the phone call from Hunter, and he's like, and I thought he was calling for the Royal Rumble. And because I'd really, like I said, I'd been training hard for it, and I told Dallas, man, I'm going to get this. I've got it. I know I've got it. Look at me. You know, and I was in the best shape I'd been in 20 years, easily. And, but Hunter said, Jake, we'd like to induct you into the Hall of Fame. I'm like, holy shit. Which caught me off guard, man. And it took probably 2 or 3 days for it to soak in, you know, because you hear it, but you don't believe it. And then you hear it and you think, really? Now? You know, and I've been waiting a long time to go into the Hall of Fame. You know, I really had. And I even made a t-shirt up to commemorate me going into the Hall of Fame and said, finally, Jesus St. Roberts goes into the Hall of Fame, which I sold the piss out of those damn things. But I got the message. And so immediately I knew that I had to tell Dallas. And at the time we were still filming everything we did. So I got a hold of Steve Yu, and had him come over and get ready for this announcement. And Dallas, of course, was up, you know, being the diva that he is, he was still upstairs pimping himself, you know. He does what he does, but he does it really well.
That's Dallas, brother.
Yeah, man, he makes sure he's right. But he was in his bedroom, and I walk in. I said, dude, I gotta talk to you. And I said, WWE just called me. He's like, what? What for? I said, well, they're not going to let me go into the Royal Rumble, man. And he's like, oh, no, man. And he knew how bad I wanted that.
Yeah.
He's like, Jake, I'm so sorry, man. You just got to keep moving forward, Jake. Do the next right thing. Come on, man. You got this. Don't let this get you down. You know, it's not a failure. Maybe next year. I said, yeah, they told me I couldn't go into the Royal Rumble, but they will induct me into the Hall of Fame. And he's like, what? I said, yeah, man. They want me to go into the Hall of Fame. And he lost it, man. He started crying and everything, man. He's very emotional at times. And so am I. I wear my emotions on my sleeve, man. And I'm not ashamed of it either, man. And big men cry too. But
no doubt.
You know, just keeping it real. If you're keeping it real, you're going to cry, you know, unless you have a stone heart.
Right.
And if you have a stone heart, you're in a bad spot, man. But anyway, so I'm going to go into the Hall of Fame. So, man, I am ready. I'm going to get ready. I'm going to blow people's mind. So I called my suit maker, had him come over to the house, and we put together this snakeskin tux, and it was really cool. You know, with the snakeskin lapel and the thing that you wear under it was all snakeskin. Right. And just to top it off, man, he knew that I had a grandson that's, you know, he's got issues, man. He struggles with a lot of things, man. He's had about 20 surgeries. He's getting ready to have a really complicated back surgery.
Oh, man.
It's going to take 9 hours. Because they're going to be working on his spine, because he's got a limp, man, and they've tried everything. This is what's going to do it. But you know, he was just a little tot then, so they actually surprised me by making him a little tuxedo too, which is so cool, man. Because if you watch my induction, I bring him up on stage.
We've got a clip of it this week.
Yeah, man. Check it out, man. He was looking sharp, man.
Dude.
Chicks were hitting on him. I thought they were hitting on me, but they were hitting on him. It's just always that way with me, man.
Just too cool. And, you know, the fact that you got inducted into the Hall of Fame after your incredible journey is, I mean, just so poetic. And we'll get into that here shortly. I wanted to do a little bit of build up before we get to the Hall of Fame. And that'll include your appearance on Raw. But first, you know, you'd mentioned this Royal Rumble as being your ambition. Yeah. At what point over the course of your recovery did you start saying, okay, I want to be in the Royal Rumble?
Probably a year in. After I'd started having long stretches of sobriety, that first year, I think I screwed up twice, maybe three times. And it was getting better. My head was clearer. My workouts were starting to pick up. Not only was I doing DDPY yoga, but after I got through with that, I would go to the gym and put in another hour. You know, so I was pushing pretty hard for an old fart, you know, but it wasn't easy, but it was something I really wanted. You know, I always wanted that opportunity to tell the fans goodbye.
Yep.
You know, especially after what they had just done for me, they'd paid for my surgery to have my shoulder repaired. And, it was in good shape now. And, that blew me away when that happened, when the fans came up on the, what's it called? The
Indiegogo.
Indiegogo, you were using. That's what we did. And we asked for a certain amount, and hell, within 24 hours, it was already there. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
that blew me away, man.
According to my research, it was like 30 grand got raised inside of 24. Just incredible. And really speaks to how much the fans still love you to this day.
Yeah, it really blew me away. You know, I mean, you got to remember where I was at, man. I went from hating myself. I was still in the hate mode on myself, you know, because I was getting in shape. And I'd look at myself and say, why didn't you fucking take care of yourself? Why didn't you do this, Jake? No, instead you had to smoke crack and fucking drink and fucking take pills. Yeah, you had a hell of a life going on now, didn't you? You know, and but people that have been there understand how tough it is to break that cycle of addiction. And I was in the process of breaking it.
Yep.
And I'd gotten to a good spot, but hell, man, because I was like a year and a half in.
Yeah,
at the time, almost 2 years in at the time. But I'd been clean for, I think at the time I'd been clean for about 8 months, and felt pretty damn good about that. I still wasn't happy with the memories. You know, sometimes the hardest thing for me to do in this whole process of getting sober was forgiving myself, because I just couldn't do it, man. I couldn't forgive myself for screwing up my family, screwing over them, screwing over everybody that came in contact with me, man. I was an addict. That's what addicts do. They use people. Mm-hmm. You know, they use them so you can get that next hit, that next drink, whatever. But, I still hate myself. And Dallas, you know, he got on me pretty hard about that. And hell, for a while there, he made me go to the mirror every day, look at the mirror and say, I like you, which I found incredibly hard. And it took several months of doing that before I started to actually like myself again. But that was close to 2 years in, man, before I started liking myself again. So.
And it's true, you know, if you can't like yourself, then why do you want to do anything for yourself?
Yeah.
You know,
you're not going to get better not liking yourself. You know, as long as that hate and the shame, trying to break the shame, how ashamed I was, you know, it was really hard for me to look people in the eye because I knew what I was, especially fans, because the fans would say, man, we love you so much. And I'm thinking to myself, you don't know me, man. You don't know how fucking wrong I am right now. I'm a junkie, man. I'm a drunk. And you're telling me I love you and you want me to hold your child while you take a picture? Oh my God, are you serious? You know, it made me want to throw up.
hard thing to come to terms with, but you know, again, it really kind of speaks to like what an impression you made. And you know, I've said it a couple times on this podcast that you're a big part of people's childhoods, and that's still how they look at, you know, a borderline father figure for a lot of people, you know, somebody that they saw on a weekly basis, man. And loved. You know,
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
So I know that you wanted to get into the Rumble, and interestingly, at WrestleCade in December 2013, you actually got physical with Stro in the ring. I think it used to be Maestro in WCW, and you gave him a DDT. I mean, like, you know, you were getting physical in the ring. It seemed like you were ready to go. You had mentioned
moving in the right direction.
You had mentioned DDP yoga. Were you doing anything else as far as getting your body kind of ready for?
Oh yeah, I was going to the gym.
Yeah,
I was going to the gym and working out with the iron. I didn't need to get in the ring to get myself ready. I knew what to do in the ring. You know, I never had a problem in the ring performing. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just something that came naturally to me. And my problem was once I got out of the ring, that's when the shit started.
Right.
Because it was hard for me to come down from the high that you get from working. You know, people don't understand until you've been there. There's a lot coming at you, man, when you're in front of, you know, it doesn't matter if it's 500 people or 50,000 people. You get that adrenaline rush from the people, man, and you get that love from the people, man, and all of a sudden, you're not 6'5 anymore. You're 10'5".
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're 700 pounds, and nothing in the world can stop you. You can break anybody's neck you want to. You can tear up the world. You can destroy a house with nothing in your hands but your fist. Just walk through there and just boom, wall down, boom, break chairs, break furniture. You can do it all. You can do it all. And then to go the other way to where you can't do shit because you're a junkie and a drunk. And it's hard to get over. It's really hard to forgive yourself. And that's what I struggled out with, was forgiving myself.
Hard to come to terms with, but it's, I mean, you know, look, you must have made some kind of an impression here at WrestleCade or along the course of your journey because, as you mentioned, you got the call about returning to Raw. Now, when they called you, was it calling you just to ask you to appear on Raw, or did they mention the Hall of Fame during
just
that?
Just Raw.
Just for Raw at the time. And was it Vince or Hunter?
I believe it was Mark Carano.
Oh, okay. And just pitch you the Raw idea. There was no mention of the Hall of Fame at this point.
No, none at all. Well, basically they just pitched the thing. They want me to come in and do a favor for Randy Orton.
Which is a fun scene. We're about to play that clip real quick. But before we do, I did want to ask, did you mention to Carano any desire to be in the Rumble at this time or just? Okay,
sure, I did.
Yeah.
Sure, I did. Yeah, I told him whenever I seen Vince, I was getting ready for the Rumble. Yeah. We met at, you know, backstage after I'd done my bit because they brought me in and they wanted it to be a surprise. Not only for the fans, but for everybody. So they stuck me into town and then they stuck me in a bus and I sat in the bus for like 8 hours by myself, twiddling my thumbs, you know, at that, man. And about once every 4 hours, they'd send somebody out to check on me, make sure I didn't need anything. Like a gun to blow my brains out.
Who wouldn't want to?
You know, it's like, Jesus Christ, man. Because I'm hearing voices outside the bus. I'm thinking, who's that? Let me think, who is that? I couldn't figure it out, but anyway.
Well, I mentioned we got the clip, and I'm going to play it right now. What a fun moment. What a huge ovation. And a lot of fans at this time, I remember, were saying, like, he's going to be in the Rumble. He made his appearance. He's going to be in it. So let's check it out.
You gotta be kidding me! Are you kidding me? I've seen a ghost. John, that's Jake the Snake Roberts. What on earth? I've got chills out here.
We're going old school.
And here come the Outlaws. It's CM Punk.
Just such a fun moment.
It was a great time, man. It's really funny. CM Punk fucking tells Mox, snake shit on your chest. And Mox just fucking bursted. He's just grinning from ear to ear. He couldn't hold it, man.
Man, and I think a big part of that has got to be like, here's this guy I watched growing up, and his whole thing was the snake, and it was so iconic. Yeah. And now it's happening to me in the ring. The snake shits on him. I mean, anybody would be laughing here, right?
Yeah, it was great, man. What a great moment for me walking down that damn thing, man. The people were screaming so loud, it was deafening. You know, and what a rush I got, man. It felt like my hair was growing. It felt like my skin was just on fire. You know, and it took my breath away, man. You can see me walking down there. I should have been more serious about that moment, but I couldn't. I was just so much joy that was flooding me because I'd come back. I'd come back from the gates of hell. And here I was.
I mean, a huge audience, a giant reaction. And I have to ask, too, you know, you're backstage for the first time. Is this the first time that you've seen Vince in like a decade or so, right?
Yeah,
since your last appearance with Randy Orton, right?
Right.
Yeah, which is wild. I mean, what's your interaction like with Vince?
Just a handshake and glad to have you back home. That's what I got, you know.
Man, I think everybody was happy to have you home.
It's kind of sad in a way because a lot of the guys had already left because that was the last match. The last, you know, they were getting out of the building before they got caught in the crowd. So my friend Ted DiBiase had already left. And, of course, DDP was there, knew what was going down. So it was really crazy.
Well, let me read this from the Observer real quick from the January 20th, 2014 edition. The appearance of Jake Roberts is a one-time deal. That's not to say that he can't be added to the Rumble or Hall of Fame, just that no deal has been put in place for either yet. Usually when it comes to the outside guests for Rumble, they don't even make the calls until the last week or so because the decisions aren't made until then and because they don't want the surprises to leak out, even though they always do. Roberts was telling people the reason Ambrose was smiling was when the snake was on him was because the snake shit on his chest and Punk told him and he couldn't help but laugh. So we covered that and how amused Moxley was. Now, what were your interactions like with the talents backstage? I have to imagine they were absolutely thrilled to see you there.
You know, that was the sad part because they weren't, a few of them came up, Road Dogg. But that was about it, man.
So the younger talent wasn't all excited?
They were just looking at me and just really smiling, but they're like, it's like they were afraid to talk to me or something. I don't know, man. I get that a lot.
You know, even nowadays?
Especially nowadays. You know, I don't know if it's the voice or the way I carry myself, but there's not much interaction with the younger talent. There's a few guys at AEW that welcome me being there, and everybody's kind to me, don't get me wrong, but you know, that's it. And I'd like so much more. You know, I wished AEW would use me in a position where I was helping people with interviews and stuff, because I do know how to do that. I can certainly help a few people that are struggling, and there are a few that struggle, you know, and you can always get better on your interviews. You're never great.
Right.
It's like Dory Funk once told me that if you ever think you've had a perfect match, and I feel the same way about interviews, then you should go backstage, take off your trunks, take off your boots, your socks, put them in a pile, spray lighter fluid on them, and burn them, because you don't deserve to be in the ring anymore if you think you've had a perfect match, because there's no such thing as a perfect match. You can always make it a little better, the same way with interviews.
Yeah, and you know, I think that once you start to get it in your head, like, "Hey, I'm perfect. I don't need any help. Everything is great." All of a sudden, there's you don't improve anymore, right?
No, if you have that attitude, you won't.
Right.
You know, you should always be sucking it in, drawing it in, trying to chew up more information. You know, there's always a different way to do something.
Well, I will say, Moxley's kind of unhinged, crazy promo style at this time and now gets compared to you an awful lot. Did you see that in him at the time?
I saw that he had command of the mic. He knew what he was doing.
Yep.
You know, it's he's never asked me for help, and that's okay too. You know, he's in a good spot and he's handling it. He's done a couple of interviews that I thought were just unbelievably over the top good.
Clearly very skilled on the mic, skilled in the ring. He's a fun guy to watch.
Absolutely.
So how did you leave things on that night? Was it basically just like, okay, we'll stay in touch?
That was it. See you. Thank you.
Wow.
That was it. Yeah, after spending 8 hours in that bus, you'd think you might get a ham sandwich or something.
Well, who told you eventually, you know, I'm sure you're still eyeing the Royal Rumble at this time, which is January 26th.
Yeah.
Who told you, like, hey, man, we're not doing it? How did that go?
Hunter.
Hunter called you?
Yeah, whenever he wanted me to come into the Hall of Fame, that's when they told me that, you know, the Royal Rumble wasn't going to happen.
Did he give you any reason why?
No.
Just not happening.
No.
How did you feel about it? You had it set as a goal, yeah.
It hurt, man, because I thought I was ready.
Were you still optimistic that maybe you could do something with WWE in the ring at some point?
No. No. You know, there comes a time where even as good as you are or as great as you are, that you take away from the show with your presence.
Mm.
And they don't want the fans focusing on this old fart here. They want the fans focusing on the new talent,
right,
cheering them on. And that happened during the Randy Orton thing. When we did the Randy Orton thing, the people wouldn't stop chanting, "We want Jake." They finally had to go out and tell the fans that, hey, Jake's going to come back in the main event. But for the time being, please stop chanting, "We want Jake. We got a TV show we have to do." Because they just wouldn't stop.
And I do remember hearing that you came back out, right?
Yeah, okay. I went back out and dumped the snake on somebody, and that was it.
Man, I think that was 2006, 2007.
Yeah.
Man, what a cool moment. Well, I'm sure we'll cover that at some point. But real quick, Jake, let's run a quick timeout and talk about our pals over at Jimmy's Famous Seafood and how you can get it brought straight to your door. So look, you know, Christmas is over, but that doesn't mean that you can't be eating like a king. Am I right?
Damn straight, man. Eating Jimmy's is like Christmas.
It could be Christmas in January. Why not?
Damn straight.
You know, Jake, there's a reason that Jimmy's is famous, and they aren't just Baltimore's best, they're not just Maryland's best, but they have all the best in the country when it comes to making crab cakes, soups, chowders, oysters.
I don't know any wrestler that's ever been there, and just about everybody's been there, doesn't think that's the best fucking place in the world to eat.
And you just said it, any wrestler that's ever been there, anytime wrestlers are in town, it's an automatic, we're going to Jimmy's, period.
Oh, yeah. That's number one on the list after you get your rental car.
No debate. We're going to Jimmy's. And they've been in business for over 40 years. They've been featured on Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives, Beat Bobby Flay, and plenty more. And Jake, guess what? Our listeners across the country can enjoy what Jimmy's has to offer, because they ship food everywhere, nationwide.
I'm going to give that a shot.
I have to, right?
I am. I've got to, man.
I mean, you know, so Christmas Eve, guess what? I surprised my in-laws. I ordered Jimmy's Famous Seafood. I used their promo code SNAKE for free shipping. And let me tell you, I got in good with the in-laws.
I know you did, bro. Damn, you gotta suck up, man.
Dude, you got to. What could be better than having a gift box or a bundle of fine cuisine delivered straight to your door? You've got to try the Famous gift box. It includes four of the world's best colossal Maryland crab cakes, two different crab soups, crab dip, seafood seasoning, and their signature base sauce. Or hey, how about the tailgate bundle for football season, right? You can get 2 pounds of wings. You can get a full rack of barbecue ribs, a pint of crab dip, crab cake mix, or better yet, Jake, how about create your own box and get everything you want with your order?
Man, how about bringing me some right now? we gotta quit doing this promo in the middle of the show, man. I'm hungry now.
I was just about to say, I need a napkin talking about this stuff. I'm starting to drool.
You're moist.
And here's the best part, Jake. Our listeners can enjoy free 2-day shipping nationwide on orders over $125. I mean, look, if you're taking your wife out to dinner to a nice restaurant, you're going to spend $125 easy.
Absolutely.
Just like that. Why not stay home in your PJs and have it come right to your door?
Get the best shit going, man.
All you got to do is go to JimmysFamousSeafood.com and use the promo code SNAKE. That's JimmysFamousSeafood.com and promo code SNAKE, S-N-A-K-E, and you can get free 2-day shipping nationwide. One more time, Jake. That's JimmysFamousSeafood.com and the promo code is SNAKE. All right. We've got this from the January 27, 2014 Observer. A potential Hall of Fame issue was averted when Jake Roberts apologized to the Ultimate Warrior. Roberts had been on the Busted Open radio show when Warrior going into the Hall of Fame was brought up, and the host indicated that Roberts deserved the spot ahead of Warrior. He said, "I don't know, man, or I know, man, I know that, but maybe they're taking in assholes and not great talents. I don't know." Which is hilarious.
Said that?
You said that on Busted Open Radio.
Gee, you know what? I meant it at the time.
Well, your comments, they resulted in an angry response from Warrior on Twitter, and you promptly issued a really nice, kind apology and say that you're just trying to be entertaining.
Let's wait now. I did apologize for the interview, but he's the one that apologized to me.
Backstage?
Yes. At the induction, as I was going up to blindside him, because I was going to drop him. And thank God I did. Because he turned and said, "Jake, I need to talk to you. I got to apologize to you, man." He said, "I know I really screwed you over bad, man. And I really, really sincerely mean this. I am so sorry. So very sorry." And that totally disarmed me, man. How are you going to punch a guy after he says that?
No, I mean, you can't.
You can't, man. You know, and he wound up meeting my family and treating them like gold. I hate what happened to him.
Oh.
Especially to his girls. To have to stand there and watch their father die in the damn parking lot. Are you serious? I mean.
Awful.
Oh, my God. I mean, I hate to think what could have happened if I'd hit him, man.
Thank God. Thank God.
It might have killed him. I'd be in prison somewhere, man, for killing an Ultimate Warrior.
Man, terrifying.
That's the last thing anybody – I mean, I don't want to hurt – there's not many people I'd want to drop like that. In fact, nobody.
No. No, of course.
There's a pretty good list of people I'd like to clock, you know.
I think we've all got a list of people that have it coming, but man, thank God you aired on the side of caution. Thank God that, you know, he did something that was pretty out of character for him at the time, or at least out of character.
It completely blew my mind. It completely blew my mind when he apologized to me, because that's just not the Ultimate Warrior.
So after this radio interview, you did issue the apology, but as you mentioned, you still had these hard feelings. I mean, is it safe to assume that WWE asked you to issue that apology?
No.
No, you just did it.
I just did it, man. Dude, it was the wrong thing to say.
It's understandable that you'd feel the way you did.
Even if it was true.
History. Yeah. Even if it was
true. And it was true.
Well, Jake, it was announced.
Let's be real. WWE has put a lot of people in the Hall of Fame that shouldn't ever be there.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, there's a long list of those.
I'm not going there. Well, your honor is announced on January 27, 2014 on Raw, and it's they have put together this awesome video package. So, I mean, after all these years of accomplishment and struggle and this redemption, I mean, what does this mean to you, Jake?
Meant the world to me. It really did. You know, sometimes you look at a map and, you know, you want to go from the West Coast to the East Coast. And, man, you get on that road there and, you know, then all of a sudden you hit a bump in the road and you fall off the horse or whatever. And you get back up on it and you struggle some more and you fight some more. Then you screw up again. Then you get back up on your horse and do it some more. Then you train your ass off, get yourself in shape, lose 80 pounds, fight like a son of a bitch to get to that. And even when once you get there, it's not solidified until you get that phone call and they invite you in. You know, because if they hadn't invited me in, I'd have just been really, really devastated, you know. But at the time, I was pretty angry, and I noticed that more sober I got, the less anger I had. And because most of it was directed at myself. I didn't blame WWE for what happened to me. It was me. You know, my issues, the issues that I had not taken care of. That's why I tell people, you've got to take care of this shit, man. If you've had something happen to you, you've got to bring it to the light, man. You can't lock it up in a closet and not talk about it, because it don't work. Because it'll start knocking on your brain, man, wanting some attention. And to shut it up, you're going to pick up your drug or pick up your drink or pop a couple of pills so you don't feel like that anymore. You know, and that's what I did. You know, I was trying to hide. I was trying to hide the stuff that had happened to me as a kid. And then I tried to hide the stuff that I'd done to myself. I tried to hide the stuff of cheating on my wife. And these are things that had to be brought to light and dealt with. And I'm happy to say that my wife is such a great woman, unbelievably great woman, because she was able to forgive me for my mistakes and my bullshit, you know. And I honestly don't know if I can do the same. I like to think that I could, but I'm just not sure.
I mean, incredible strength from her.
We're happy now, very, very happy. We're going to get married someday, relatively soon, not soon enough for me, but it's taking time, you know. But we've been back together now 2 years. And she did get me a little ring here, a little turquoise ring in silver.
That is too cool.
It's kind of to warm up. Oh, and she did buy this too.
Oh, man, she's hooking you up. Yeah,
wait. Just don't forget this bling too.
I got to get my wife in touch with her. I got to stay.
She likes to play dress up with me. I don't know if she just didn't get enough dolls when she was a kid or what. She gets me clothes too, plays dress up.
Dude, it's so cool that you and Cheryl have reunited years later.
You have no idea how cool it is, man.
Unbelievable. The fans online, I see it all the time where they're like, you know, again, they grew up watching not just you, but Cheryl too during that entire period of time. And so it's, man, people are thrilled about it. And I'll tell you something I was thrilled about here is Scott Hall was also announced as being inducted the same year shortly after you. Man, it's after all the struggle and both of you went through and then DDP's help. I mean, what did it mean to you to go in along with Scott?
Dreams do come true. You know, and to be honored with Scott was, you couldn't get no better. You know, we had a great group going in.
Yeah, man, just an incredible group. March 10th, 2014, Observer, they note that DDP sent out a release saying that he had accepted the offer to induct you into the Hall of Fame. It just feels like everything's coming together for this thing, does it not?
It does, man. It's like, this is what is supposed to have happened to you, Jake, years ago, but we're going to put it back together. And, you know, you couldn't have written a better script. No way. Hollywood couldn't have written a better script of putting it together and having it happen with my sobriety, Scott's sobriety at the time. You know, nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow, but today I'm sober. And I feel absolutely wonderful. I thank God. I thank Cheryl. I thank DDP. I thank the fans. I thank my daughters, my sons, for welcoming me back into the family. My grandchildren, man. The only mistake I made at Christmas, here's another New Year's resolution thing. Do not take teenage girls to the mall.
Oh, no. Oh, no, Jake.
I took three teenage girls and a young boy to the mall to go shopping for Christmas.
And now you got to take out another mortgage on the house?
No, it wasn't too bad there, man. It wasn't bad at all, but that wasn't it. It's just the fact that you got to go here, 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 there, here, there. And, of course, it's the mall at Christmas.
Oh, man.
You know what the mall was like a week before Christmas?
Insanity.
Oh, my God. One of the largest malls in the world. We were in Dallas, man, and we were right in the middle of it, man. But I held on for 3 hours and because we have an early Christmas with the grandkids. Because with the families the way they are, man, there's about three or four Christmases, you know, that you have to do because you got your children spread out all over the world. And this was, you know, Dallas and six of my grandkids. And Cheryl and I went out there and spent a few days and went shopping, like I said. We had a Christmas dinner together. And we also went and watched volleyball for 4 hours while one of my granddaughters performed.
Man.
And she's something else, man. She's a good ball player.
Is she tall like you?
Yes, she is. She's a rail, just like I was when I was a kid, man. Tall and thin.
That's a good recipe for volleyball,
man. Damn straight, man. A couple of years, she'll be spiking the hell out of it.
Dude, too cool. Now, I wanted to ask, too, while you're in the mall, are you getting approached by fans constantly?
A few, yeah. I try not to make eye contact.
I mean, you're there with your family. People have got to know. Come
you,
on.
If you make eye contact, they're going to take the time for their brain to think about who that is.
Yep.
But if you don't make eye contact, you can pretty much make your way through the mall without being bothered.
Ooh, man. Head down. Keep your eyes down.
Yeah. Keep your eyes down and, you know, try not to have any moments where your arms are flailing or something, you know.
Well, Jake, April 5th arrives, and it's the moment we've been building toward here. It's the day of your induction at the Smoothie King Center in New Orleans. You're inducted, of course, alongside Scott Warrior, Carlos Colon, Paul Bear, Lita, and Mr. T. That is a hell of a group, isn't it?
It is a great group, man.
What's it like behind the scenes at an event like this?
It's pretty quiet. Pretty quiet. You know, they want you focused and focused on your speech. I did typical Jake. The day of, they put two writers with me to write my speech. And they would tell me that, yeah, you talk about this and we're going to put this up on the Tron. You talk about this and we're going to put that up on the Tron. You talk about this, we'll put that up on the Tron. Okay. And they wrote it all out, what they wanted me to say. And I had it in my hand. And I guess I dropped it accidentally.
Accidentally on purpose?
Yeah, on the way to the podium, and I just said what my heart felt, and I'm proud of myself for doing that because I wanted the people to know how I felt, not how somebody else felt.
You're one of the greatest storytellers ever in wrestling, and you know it's who better to give a fantastic speech, and you did. You know, you talked about your love of the business, struggles with addiction, Dallas saving your life. You gave a shout out to the fans that showed you the incredible support with that Indiegogo.
Yeah.
And maybe the most memorable part of it, in my opinion, a moment that I count among some of the best ever in the history of the Hall of Fame, is when you were able to bring up your 18-month-old grandchild.
Yeah.
And I've got the clip of that ready. It's about 2 minutes. And dude, if this doesn't pull your heartstrings, you better check your pulse.
Little fucker tried to take the mic away from me.
My hero is 18 months old. He, where's he at? Right there. Bring him up here. This young man has a sister out there. Look, he wants me to shut up. And he weighed 1.8 when he was born. His sister weighed 1.11. They've had 10 surgeries each. They're still fed by tubes. And Vince, get your story writers busy, because in 20 years of WrestleMania 50, this kid will be there. Besides, he's already got the outfit, man. I'm not going to go on because, man, I want to start crying. I just want to get back with my family. With my family, my girls and boys, please stand up, because you're my heroes. I love them. They gave me a second chance. God bless the WWE, because they gave me one too. Thank you very much.
Dude, just a beautiful moment.
Yeah, it got me again.
Oh man, here's what's cool is in professional wrestling, I've heard a lot of people say it's a business where you have to be selfish to be successful, and you have to be driven and focused one singular goal. And here you are being honored for your incredible professional accomplishments, but you close it out with what's really important in life. Just nothing short of a beautiful moment there at the Hall of Fame, Jake. That was incredible.
Yeah, it was, man. God almighty.
I know, I got you.
Oh,
sorry.
Man, you got me good. Let's get off the air, man. I don't want to sit here and cry.
All right. I've only got a few more, and then we'll do some business, and we'll get out of here. So, Jake, following this, were you hoping that you'd have an opportunity to do a little bit more with the company as a coach or an agent or something, or were you just like, that's it?
I wasn't thinking about that at the time. I dreamed about it happening, of course, but at the time, I wanted to stay focused on my sobriety, and I didn't think I was ready to go on the road. You know, it's a different thing when you're staying in a house where you're protected and you don't go anywhere without having somebody with you. That was the rule, the sobriety rule. Don't leave the house unless you take somebody with you, and everybody did that. But no way in hell that I think I was able to, would have been able to go out on the road by myself. I think I'd turn around and shot myself in the foot. It was just too much can happen on the road. You know, there's too many things to deal with. And, let's face it, man, I was trying a new life. Mm-hmm. You know? Life of sobriety is completely different from the rock and roll bullshit I went through. And I don't recommend it for anybody. But,
And dude, good on you. Good on you for seeing that and being able to see yourself clearly enough to see like, hey, maybe that's not for me.
No, I couldn't have done it. I mean, when I first started trying to get sober, the first thing I done was take my driver's license and cut it up. Because I knew that if I drove a car, I would wind up in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. And I stuck with that for almost 10 years. You know, yeah. I just didn't think I was strong enough. I didn't want to take that chance. You know, maybe I could have done it, but I didn't want to flip a coin, man. You know, because sooner or later, that damn snake's going to bite you. And I've been there, and I don't want to go back, man. Life is too friggin' sweet, man.
As we saw at the end of that clip, life has certainly got more to offer. Just real quick, you know, you had a couple sporadic appearances with WWE following this. You featured in video games. You were on that WWE story time. It's safe to say at that time you were kind of looking for more, right?
Yeah, of course. You know, you want to get involved. You start feeling stronger. You start feeling like, you know, hey, I can still be productive. My mind's still good. I think I could have helped them on storylines for damn sure. Mm-hmm. And I could have helped people with interviews, but they'd had enough, Jake. They'd had enough, you know, and that's all right, you know. Let the new guys do it.
Well, and all's well that ends well. You wound up in AEW, and and we've wound up here on the Snake Pit. Jake, next week we're running it back. We're going to do another Ask Jake thing.
God, I love those.
Dude, they're so fun, and we get such cool questions. I know we've got a ton of great ones coming up here. And it's something we're going to try to do once a month. We've got some just incredible questions. We'll try to get to all of them when we do that next week. Looking forward to diving in. But Jake, before we go, I want to mention your fellow Hall of Famer. You know, you mentioned Cody Wyoming earlier, and this is where this gentleman lives, Eric Bischoff. He's got a second autobiography out, Grateful. And you, as someone yourself who's writing a biography, you know, I know you know how difficult that can be and how much time that takes and thought. And Eric just did an amazing job on this one. It's got a really unique format. They've got QR codes that you can scan, and it'll take you to specific interviews online that kind of add more context to the situation. It's, to my knowledge, it's never been done in a book before.
Wow.
So just an innovative concept from an innovative guy who changed the business. Get your copy of Grateful now on Amazon or at BischoffBook.com. If you've got a question for Jake, you can ask it on Twitter at SnakePitPod. If you want to introduce a friend or family member to the show, maybe consider trying out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/@snakepitpod. We've got some bite-sized little sample clips, which will help you to introduce the podcast to somebody who's maybe on the fence about it. While you're there, like, subscribe, and hit the notifications bell so you don't miss any of the new content we're dropping there. Also, if you've enjoyed our podcast, please like, subscribe, and leave us a 5-star review on all platforms, because that helps us out a ton. Look, just a reminder, you can go to the Snake Pit and all the other shows on our network, or get the Snake Pit and all the other shows on our network early and ad-free over at adfreeshows.com, starting at just $9. That's just 15 cents an episode each month. Come on, what are you doing? If you're not there, get on there. Plus, you can get tons of bonus content, interactive chats with your favorite hosts, wrestling personalities, and much more. Head on over to adfreeshows.com. Get over to Jake's Cameo. I know that Christmas is come and gone, but that doesn't mean that you can't have a little message from old Saint Jake, right?
You know, there's a lot of people out there that forgot somebody during Christmas that they should have remembered, and you're feeling like guilt. You're feeling the guilt, and rightfully so. You should be ashamed of yourself for forgetting that person. So what you can do is get a Cameo or go to Snake Shop.
JakeTheSnakeShop.com. Yep. All kinds of new stuff there.
Lots of stuff.
Awesome stuff. Hot sellers. And I know that you're constantly filling the shelves over there with more new and interesting things. So go to
JakeTheSnakeShop.com. Got a special going on right now.
There is a special. And let me tell you, man, everything is signed by the Hall of Famer himself. So come on, get over there. Get yourself an autographed piece of merch that you can't get anywhere else. Catch Jake on Twitter at JakeSnakeDDT, on Instagram at JakeTheSnakeDDT, and on Facebook at RealJakeTheSnake. You can follow me at Marcus P. D'Angelo on Twitter. You can follow the podcast on Snake Pit Pod on all social media platforms. Jake, this was a hell of an episode. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you, brother. Love you guys, fans. Buy something in the shop, man. You'll dig it, I promise.
I promise you will, too. And guys, we'll catch you here next time on the Snake Pit.
Because my wife and I were sitting in our living room on a Friday night at 8 o'clock. And we had the conversation, hey, are we going to do that refinance? Oh, yeah, I guess we need to get on that. And so I submitted an interest card online. And within 15 minutes, they were calling, taking all my preliminary information on a Friday night. So we were like very impressed with that. The process from the start to the finish, because you know there's a lot of steps involved with the mortgage process. And each step, it seemed like it just flowed from one step to the other without any bumps, no seams. Blake is also, we know him personally as well, but you know none of that really factored in. He was professional. He did his job. He got results, and he got results quick. And let me just say, first of all, it's been about 8 years since we've been through this process. And we were taken aside by the fact that we did not set foot in an office. Everything was done electronically. This process has really left us in shock. And the fact that if you want to refinance, I mean, this process from First Family was like I said, it was so simple, so easy, and I would 10 out of 10 recommend.